The Traveler by Joseph Eckert, read by Ray Porter. For Olivia, love forever and always. Chapter 1. I was driving to work the first time it happened. It was a chilly April morning in Madison, Wisconsin, the sun peering over the rooftops in my neighborhood. I was running a little late, but not much more than usual. A sports podcast played in the background, although I wasn't really listening. I was just driving. One more day, one more morning, like any other. I had a headache. It had pulsed behind my eyes since I'd gotten up, but it was getting steadily worse. Then, for less than a single heartbeat, the world slipped, and my car disappeared. For a fraction of a moment, I was still moving forward, a little over the posted 25-mile-per-hour speed limit, in a sitting position, one arm up, fingers on my right hand curled in a circle where the steering wheel had been, knees bent, one foot extended to feather a gas pedal that was no longer there. Then I fell, gravity pulling my poised position apart. My feet hit the pavement first, then my rear end, then my knees as I cartwheeled forward. I tumbled across the rough asphalt, arms and legs flailing, my buttoned-up Oxford shirt and khaki pants tearing like paper. I didn't even have time to cry out. One moment I was in my car, the next I was rolling across the roadway. I flung my arms up to cover my head as I curled in a ball. The ground hammered into my back, my sides, my thighs, my knees, my shoulders. I tumbled a dozen yards before I came to a stop, my cheek pressed against the road. The double yellow center line extended away from me, bright against the rough pattern of the asphalt. Before me was the rust-etched underside of a parked car. I couldn't breathe, and I felt panic rise before a clear thought made it through the muddle in my head, and I forced myself to breathe in. Cold air flooded into empty lungs. I coughed, sucked more air in, and groaned.
What?
A horn blared, tires screeched, and a black truck, there hadn't been anyone behind me, swerved around my outstretched feet before roaring past. The driver shouted something at me as he went by, but I didn't catch the words. I jerked up and crab-walked backward until my wrists hit the curb. I pulled myself onto the concrete sidewalk, moving on adrenaline, and fell to my back. I stared at drifting clouds in the bright morning sky. The wind had drawn them into a broad wing shape framed by trees and power lines on either side of the street. I raised trembling hands, my heart hammering in my chest. The heels of my palms were bloody patches dotted with rocks and bits of asphalt. Everything hurt. Blood trickled down my calves from my knees.
What the hell?
I croaked. I heard the scrape of someone's shoes on the concrete to my left. I turned my head and felt a spike of pain as the muscles in my neck seized up. Two young girls wearing identical backpacks stared wide-eyed down at me. They turned, looked at one another, then pelted down the sidewalk away from me.
Mom! Mom!
One of them screamed. I opened my mouth to call out and ask them what they'd seen, if they knew where my car was. But my phone started buzzing in my pants pocket. I fumbled with shaking hands and pulled it out. The screen was cracked in three new places. I held it against the backdrop of the sky and squinted. I had dozens of missed texts and several voicemails. I checked the texts, my thumb going to them by reflex. The first was from my office mate, Andy.
Dude, you coming in today or what?
I could only frown at the phone and shake my head, the concrete rough beneath my hair. I swiped to the next. This was from my supervisor, Melissa.
Scott, it had better be an emergency. You can't just not show up for work. You have to call in.
I flipped through the rest, all variations on the same theme. I shifted to the voicemails. All were from Amy, my wife. I listened to the first while reading the automatically generated transcript, the little bubble moving across the screen to mark the passage of time as she spoke.
"Scott, where are you?" Amy asked.